Amen. Appreciate the message that we have heard already. I ask an interest in your prayers. I'll just take something he said and ask you a question. You know I like to ask questions. I'd like for you to think. When it comes time for us to go the way of all flesh, we have a tombstone erected with our name on it. Could it be said of you, this was a perfect and upright man, or perfect and upright woman? Well, not in the sense of absolute perfection. We understand, and Brother Thomas covered that it was a matter of in their generation. You know, when we try our best to live according to the Word of God, according to the way it would be pleasing to the Lord, that's the best we can do. We can't guarantee how others are going to act or respond, but that's the best we can do, is obey God. All right? Is that our goal? That we live in such a way that we could be as others in the scriptures are spoken of as that perfect, not sinlessly perfect, but perfect in the sense of mature, perfect in the sense of faithful to God, perfect in the sense of having an understanding of how we should live before God in a way that pleases Him. Is that our goal? I think it should be our goal that we could live in such a way that would bring glory to God and that would be an encouragement and a blessing to others around us. Okay? So, this morning, I want to give you a list. I've gone through the scriptures and found some things that the scripture says that we should always do. Now, if this happened to be one of those mornings when I was the only one in the pulpit, it'd be a longer list. Okay? I'm going to give you the short list. All right? That's what we like today, isn't it? We like the short list. All right? So I'm going to give you five things. Five things the scripture says we should always do. Now, if we would be attentive to doing those five things every day, oh, preacher, every day, yes, every day. If we would do those things, I believe our walk would be closer to the Lord.
Amen.
All right? First thing is to fear God. Fear God. I've opened up to, I could go to several places, but I'm going to read from Deuteronomy 14. Deuteronomy 14, oh, that's Old Testament. Yes, it is. But the teachings in the much of the Old Testament is just as valid today as it was in the days that God gave it to Israel. Okay? The principles, the precepts, you know, we don't have the law service. We don't have a lot of the things that Israel was required to do. But those principles of serving God are just as valid today as they ever were, and they always will be. Okay? If we live to be as old as Methuselah, they'll be just as valid as they are today. All right? Deuteronomy 14. I'm going to get verse 23. Thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, thy wine, and thy oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord God. Fear the Lord thy God always. Fear the Lord thy God always. Now, this needs some explanation here. We're not talking about, when we're talking about fearing the Lord, we're not talking about being afraid of him or having a slavish fear. We're not talking about that, although God is a jealous God, and he does judge his people. So we need to realize that if we are walking in disobedience, there's going to be consequences. But as far as living life daily and serving the Lord and trying to be close to him, there is a healthy fear of God. And we would define that as being a extreme reverence and respect for God. The kind of reverence and respect that we would have that would guide our behavior. Okay? If we honor and reverence and respect God enough, then we'll want to do what he says.
Right.
All right? That's what we call obedience, right? Noah obeyed God, and you go over to Hebrews 11, and he's mentioned as one of those heroes of faith, all right? And Noah, it said that he feared God, he obeyed God. He built a house to the saving. I'm sorry. He built an ark to the saving of his house. In other words, he honored the Lord to such a degree that it had a blessing upon his house. Okay. When we think about fearing the Lord always. Now, what I read to you involved several activities. Okay. So part of what God did in the Old Testament with the law service and the things that they had to do on a regular basis was to train them up, okay? To train them up in the ways that God had told them that they should live, how they should worship, how they should deal with one another. In those kinds of ways, when they respected God's word and when they honored him, then they obeyed his word, okay? We're to fear the Lord thy God always. If what God says is high enough on our list, I mean, if we have a high enough respect and regard for God's word and his ways, then we will walk according to it. All right? I've announced at least, that I'm going to give you a list of five things. As a pastor, when we use this precious time from the pulpit, we pray that the Lord would place upon our heart things that would be good for you, and that you would show up to the service to hear it, so that when you leave, you'll carry it with you and put it into practice. That's the best that we can hope for, is that you receive the word with a ready mind and that you leave here and you put those things into practice, because that's when your light shines. That's when glory is given to God. Not when we learn it, but when we show it. Okay? And that's what being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is all about, is living in such a way that I've said a number of times here lately, we should live, you know, that old saying about if you were accused of being a Christian, is there enough evidence to convict you? I hope there is. And I hope there's enough of that evidence every day that we're showing forth that we are God's child, that we are living according to his word. And we want to do that which is pleasing in his sight. When you do that, you are walking in the fear of the Lord. And that used to be a common expression when I was a boy. I'd hear people say, well, there goes a God-fearing man, or there goes a God-fearing woman, or she was a God-fearing woman, or something like that. I don't hear much of that anymore. Do we not have those as much anymore? Is it not as evident in our lives anymore? I pray that it is. I pray that we're just having a different way of expressing it, but we still, and I know we still got a lot of good folks. I'm looking at a lot of good folks this morning, and I know there's many more all around us. But it ought to be our aim in pleasing the Lord that we walk every day in the fear of the Lord. Saw something the other day that caught my attention. It says you can't be a part-time Christian and defend yourself against a full-time devil. He's full-time. You better put some effort into it if you expect to be able to see his wiles and to deal with it. Okay? So I want us to be full-time. Full-time Christians. Somebody joins the church, we want them to be full-time members, right? Okay? So as we think about, first of all, we want to fear the Lord daily. All right? One of the best ways I know to bolster that and to nurture that is to have our nose in this book and read and remind ourselves just how glorious, how powerful, how loving, how merciful, how long-suffering our God is, so that we can walk each day in the fear of the Lord. And when we're walking in the ways that's pleasing to him, we're walking in that way that's fear, that shows that we fear the Lord. All right? In Luke chapter 18, the second point I want to make about things that we should always do. The Lord gave a parable. And unlike most of the parables, he told us the reason for this parable before he gave the parable. All right, Luke chapter 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. All right? So that means that every day we need to be praying to God. Praying to the extent that we're not only asking for our own needs, but we're asking for the needs of those around about us, those that we love. There are things that we're aware of. You know, I mentioned some names of people this morning asking for prayers for them. We don't know them personally. We might not know them personally, but God does. And so there are many things that we pray about that may not affect us immediately, but it has a blessing. You know, I appreciate so much when we hear prayers, and those prayers include praying for our nation, praying for the church, praying for pastors. There's just lots of things that we need to pray for on a regular basis. Do we take some time, do we devote some time in our day, each day, for prayer? We need to. And when we finish what we consider to be our prayer time, we need to prayerfully go forth throughout our day. And there may be hundreds of times throughout the day that we see a need or hear of a need, and we might just quickly say, Lord, bless that person. Lord, have mercy upon that person. I tell you, sometimes I hear the plight that some of God's people are in, and it just tugs at my heart. I just have to utter a prayer just right then. Don't wait. Don't wait and save it all for your prayer time. You won't have time for it. You won't get around to it. You might not remember it. But we can be a praying people. God has given us that desire in our heart. Having his spirit within us, we're able to cry, Abba, Father. You know what that means? It means we're claiming a personal relationship with the God of heaven, our Father. And without the Spirit of God within you, you don't have that desire. All right? So if you hear somebody calling in sincerity upon their Father in heaven, then bless your heart, you're part of the family. They're part of the family, all right? So when we think about praying, praying is a powerful thing. There are powerful prayers that are recorded in the scriptures. There are things that have happened in my life, and I suspect that you can remember things that's happened in your life where you didn't know what to do, but you prayed to the God who didn't know what to do, and he delivered. And he's still answering prayers today. All right? So whatever case, if we're young or old, whether we're whatever our situation in life, we can call upon the God of heaven.
Amen.
What a privilege we have. We don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to file a petition. We can instantly. Now, it does need to be in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's our advocate with the Father. There's one mediator between God and man. Between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. All right? Hebrews. So when we find, it's something that ought to be a regular part of every day we live. Praying. Praying. How is your prayer life? It just gives breath to our soul to speak to God, to pray unto him. And so not only should we be walking in the fear of the Lord every day, we also need to be praying every day. Okay? I'm not going to ask how you're doing so far. You'll have to answer that. But I hope that we're all doing those things, praying on a regular basis. All right? I won't take time to get into the parable in Luke chapter 18, but he told us that was the need for it. And so that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And if you'll read that parable, you'll find that there was a widow that went to the unjust judge. And she continually went to him. And he was wearied by her continually coming, and so he answered her request. Well, God's far better than that, and he will speedily deliver. He will speedily answer our prayers. So we should fear the Lord daily. We should always pray. Another thing that we should always give thanks. Always be thankful. Do you remember there were, on one occasion, there were 10 lepers that were cleansed. And the Lord said, go show yourself to the priest. Okay, the Old Testament had a way for the priest to decide if someone was cleansed of leprosy and they could be pronounced clean. Okay, and so as they went, one of them, how many were there? 10. But one of them turned around and glorified God. I think there's a lesson in that. God is so good to all of us. But I just wonder if there's just a tenth of God's people who really and truly are good about giving thanks for their blessings. Are you part of that 10%? I think we all should be part of that. I think we should all be those who readily give God thanks and praise and glorify his matchless name for all the blessings that he's given us. And see, if you're if you're praying to him on a regular basis, your mind and your spirit is going to be stirred in the things of God. And you're going to be constant, and if you're reading the Word of God, you're going to be constantly reminded of how good he is, how glorious he is, all the glorious things that he's done for us. And I'll tell you, that ought to cause your heart to rejoice. And we should be thanking him on a regular basis. You know, I'm sure we have thanked him in the past, but we ought to be thanking him every day we live. He blesses us every day. And if you're having problems finding the ways that God blesses you, then we need to talk. Because God truly does. I mean, listen, the air that you breathe, the blessing of the environment that we all have to live in each day, we don't have to ask for that. He provides it to us daily. Okay? There's so many ways that God blesses us on a regular basis. But most of all, if you are blessed to understand that God sent his Son to this world to save sinners, and if you feel to be a sinner, then bless your hearts, the good news is he died for you. Now, he only had to do that one time. But listen, it deserves our praise and our thanksgiving every day we live for the mercy and for the grace that he's bestowed upon us through his Son. I tell you, we can rejoice in that every day. We can find rest in that because we realize that we come short. We make our mistakes in this life. We sometimes can't do the things that we would love to do. But bless your hearts, God is merciful and gracious. And for Jesus' sake, he blesses us every day we live. And so may God find us giving thanks to his holy name every day we live. All right? Fear the Lord. Be in prayer. Now, I realize that thanksgiving is kind of like prayer. I mean, it's a part of praying. But we can be thankful many, many times throughout the day. All right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the next thing I want to notice, Paul has taught us by the inspiration of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 15, we have the longest lesson in all the scriptures concerning the resurrection of Christ. Okay? And he comes down to the point where he says, but thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All right? That's something we need to be thankful for. That's something that we need to praise God for. That's something we need to remember on a daily basis. All right? But then he says in verse 58, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, therefore, what's the therefore, therefore? Because of what God has done for us. Because of what in his mercy and in his grace he has given it to us. And it's freely given to us. And we didn't have to figure it out. We didn't have to work it out. He, by his grace, has given us salvation through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the victory over death, hell, and the grave. We have the victory over sin. He paid the sin debt for us. He paid it in full. So then, at the close of the chapter, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always, see why I got this verse here, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now your labor is not to save souls for heaven. Jesus did that. But we can save others from sorrows. We can save others from heartaches. We can save others from a lot of the troubles that we face. If we observe to do what God tells us, we can be an influence for good unto others. There's just so many ways that we can have a good influence, and in a sense, it's a saving influence, a deliverance, if you will, from many of the pitfalls and the problems of life. It's found in observing his word. Okay? So he tells us to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. In other words, those things which are good works, those things which are pleasing to the Lord, those things that are a blessing to others, those things that help us personally. You know, Ephesians chapter 2, when he said in verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, not verse 9. Then verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship. In other words, this is the way he made us. This is the purpose for which he made us. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We should be abounding in the work of the Lord every day. All right? There's things that God's word tells us, how we should live our life, how we should deal with one another, how we should be merciful, how we should be forgiving, how we should be loving, how we should be helpful, how we should be serving. All the ways that God's word enjoins upon us to do those things which are pleasing unto him, that tells us what we should do, those good works that he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You can tell by the wording, and you can tell by your experience, we don't always do those things. But we should be. We should be abounding. Always abounding. Not just a little bit here and there, but always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He sees everything we do. And there's not anything that you do in his name that he doesn't see. And bless your hearts, he'll bless it. Now, even when we do things for the Lord's, you know, as we commonly speak of it, doing things for the Lord, okay, he tells us how to go about that. You know, not to let the right hand know what the left hand's doing. Okay, we're to do our good works whenever we can. Sometimes it's unavoidable, but we should do what we can without calling any attention to ourselves. Okay? God's pleased when we go about doing things in that way. All right? Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So he has before ordained that we should walk in those good works. So we should be found doing those things each day. That's when glory is given to his name, when we do those things. It's one thing to know it, it's another to carry it out and do it. Okay? And so we bring glory to his name when we do it, and the blessing and the benefit is received by others as we do. All right? One more. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, the whole book of Philippians, the theme of that book is rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. So in Philippians 4, all right, Philippians 4, verse 4. Let me turn to it because I may confuse it with another verse. Very simply, Philippians 4:4. I just want to make sure I had the right verse there. Rejoice in the Lord, always. And again I say, rejoice. Why did Paul say it twice? Didn't you hear it the first time? Rejoice in the Lord. Okay? But he said, always. And again, he said, I say, rejoice. Well, God didn't need to repeat things in his word just to take up space, right? When God repeats something in his word, and this is God speaking to us now, I know it was through the Apostle Paul, but all scripture is given by inspiration. And so it's the Holy Spirit moving these men to pin down these words, right? And so the Spirit moved Paul to give this emphasis. Do you think we still need that emphasis today? I think so. I think so. So he said, rejoice in the Lord always. What days are that? Is that just Sunday morning? Is that just Wednesday? I think it's every day that ends with a Y. How about that? All right? Rejoice in the Lord always. Don't you know what God has done for us in saving us from an eternal burning hell deserves some rejoicing, all right? Listen, he doesn't intend for us to wait until we're over yonder. We want to give glory to his name right now. He's given us his spirit. He's blessed us with his word. He's blessed us with an understanding of what he's done for us. He's blessed us to know that he sent his son to this world. And the mission that Jesus came to this world to do was to save his people from their sins. Isn't that what the angel told Joseph? That's why his name was to be called Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. All right, that's what God sent him to do. And I don't think I've quoted from John chapter 6 today, have I? But he said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And he goes on to tell us what that will was. That God sent him, for all that was given to him, God sent him to save them. We're blessed to know that. We're blessed to understand that Jesus came to do that. And we also understand that Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. What's finished? Not just the crucifixion. When Jesus said it's finished, he's saying he had finished what the Father sent him to do. And that involved him dying on the cross. His blood was the ransom for our sins. He would go to the tomb 3 days and 3 nights later he would come out. He was delivered for our offenses. He was raised again for our justification. And bless your hearts, not too long after that, he was received back into glory. And I'm going to tell you, to me, the greatest evidence that Jesus finished what the Father sent him to do was that the Father received him back into glory. All right? And so when we think about all that we have through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if we think about, we've got perfect instruction for every good work right here in the Bible. We've got good brothers and sisters to be an encouragement to us, or if necessary, to rebuke us, or whatever the case might be, that we might all together live closer to the Lord. Bless your hearts, when we think about all that we have from him, doesn't that give us reason to rejoice? Every day, every day, we can rejoice in the Lord. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. All right? So we're to fear the Lord. Here's my short list, okay? Fear the Lord. We're to be praying every day. Praying. We're to be giving thanks every day. We're to be abounding in the work of the Lord every day. And when you're doing that, I don't think you'll have any problem rejoicing. I believe you'll find yourself walking close. I believe you'll find yourself rejoicing about as much as Noah did. You know, if we're doing that consistently on a regular basis, I tell you, there's no telling what somebody will put on your tombstone when you're gone. Because we have an opportunity in the world in which we live today. If we're faithful to God, if we're loving God and loving one another, I tell you, it's going to show. Because there's a lot of folks that are going a different direction today. But God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, that we should show forth his praises. May God help us to be mindful of doing those things that he says in his word that we should always do. Let's not let a day go by without us accomplishing those things to his glory, and it'll be for your blessing. May God bless you, is our prayer.